Hey, I'm really glad you're here today. Thank you for coming out to Christ Church. We're in the last week of a message series, and this message series has been about our best next and doing what we have to do to get us to the best next, because next is coming. It's just a matter of we want the best next in our life. And so I've been trying to talk to you about, like, how do you get to that? We have to position ourselves for it, because it's going to happen. Like, next is going to happen even if we don't do anything. But we want, like, this year to be our best year. We want this to be our best time. We want to walk in all that God has for us. And so what we do know is that it's going to be based off of the decisions we make. Most likely it's going to be off of the decisions, because our decisions determine our future. I mean, it's just that simple. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. That's what we've been saying from the beginning of this. And we make all kinds of decisions. Like, you make daily decisions. Some of you make, you know, they say we make 35,000 decisions. Some of you had to used up 10% of those on figuring out what you're wearing to church today. You know, like, seriously. I mean, but, you know, we make decisions about where I'm going to stop for gasoline. Am I going to stop at this place? Oh, is it a dollar cheaper, a penny cheaper than it is down the street? I need to go to the grocery store. Which grocery store am I going to go to? Going to go to lunch. I mean, we make decisions constantly. And those decisions have outcomes, however great or small. Then we make bigger decisions. Like, those are just everyday, minute decisions in our day. But then we start to make some bigger decisions. And it has to do with purchases. It has to do with financial decisions. It has to do with jobs. It has to do with relationships. So all of those things we start to make some decisions about. And sometimes we have to make some difficult decisions. It seems like we're moving in a direction and, like, things are going okay, and then something happens and something blindsides us, or we're brought a piece of information. A family member or friend comes and they said, hey, listen, that person that you're dating, are you aware of this about their life? And all of a sudden, you're faced with the decision. Like, what am I going to do about that piece of information that I have? And then even more than that, like, if your family says or a friend say, like, you've been dating somebody, or you've been hanging around with some folks and you've been doing something, it's just, we don't think it's good for you. And so all of a sudden you're faced with a decision. Am I going to pursue where I'm heading to, or am I going to maybe make a decision that might be difficult, that might take me in a different direction? So we've been talking about how exactly are you going to make these decisions about where you're going to go to school and what kind of relationships, what's your finances going to look like. You're making decisions all the time. And if you look back in your life and my life, our life is today what it is because of decisions we've made in our past. And our future will be based off of the decisions, most likely, that we're making now. A few minutes ago, we were talking about seed time and harvest. Like, the truth is that you're planting seeds now for what your future is going to be tomorrow. The decisions you're making right now are seeds for your future, and you will see the harvest of those decisions somewhere down the road. And the interesting thing is many of us will see some decisions come to harvest, and we'll be like, man, that was an awesome decision. And sadly, on the other side of that, many of us will have decisions that we make right now that will be associated with some of our greatest regrets. Because, you know, right now, there's some decisions. If you could reverse the hands of time, you would love to be able to go back in time and undo that. You'd love to be able to undo that night, or that person, or that action, and that decision, that conversation. So our decisions are really important, and our lives are really about what decisions we're making. You have choices right now that you're making that will determine your future, and you won't see them. Here's the interesting thing about it. Like, most of the time right now, we see the emotional side of this. Like, we get emotionally attached, but we don't really see where it's going to land. We just know that there's going to be someplace that it's going to land. So we've been talking for the last few weeks about making decisions. And the interesting thing, as far as I'm concerned, what if you could have a computer that you could put all the facts of everything, all the world, into this one computer database, and then out of that database, you could maybe ask a question like, what am I supposed to do with that? And it would calculate and come up with the best possible answer. How many would love that? Like, I would love that. Like, just have somebody just to tell me, this is the best response to that. But you know what the problem with that is? The problem is, even if we had the best possible answer and the best possible options, we probably wouldn't choose them, you know? Because, like, we do that now. Honestly, like, we go to a financial planner, like, this is going to be your best plan to have a great retirement. And they hand us a folder, and we take it home and put it in a drawer and don't even look at it again. You know, it's like, savings? I don't know that word, you know? And so even if we had all the information and even sometimes the best options, often we choose, we have great information about our nutrition. Honestly, there isn't hardly anything on the planet that I don't know the nutritional value for it. Honestly, in times past, it's very evident now that I've made some very bad decisions when it comes to my nutrition. But in times past, like, I really worked out hard and I was really knowledgeable about everything. Like, I could tell you the nutritional content of a Twinkie. Like, you know, I mean, I knew the nutrition of everything and I could tell you what was the good, what was the bad in it. But even with all that information, doesn't guarantee you're going to make the best decisions. And so I've been challenging you on some level to put yourself into a process of making the best decisions and then committing to those decisions, having values. So for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this, and I've been asking you some questions, and I'm going to give them to you real quickly. If you're new with us today, you'll hear some new information. I'll cover it quickly. I would challenge you, go back and online and listen to these messages. But the first week, the question was, what's the wisdom in the circumstance? Everybody just say it with me. What is the wisdom in my circumstance? Just say it as a full sentence. What is the wisdom in my circumstance? It's a great place to start. Just pause and go, okay, what's the wisdom in this circumstance? So let me tell you something that happened to me this week. I got involved in a situation that somebody said something that I had no appreciation for. And so, just listen. I speak for a living. Words are things I use. And so I sat down and I got to think, okay, what's my response to this person going to be? Whoo, I had some lovely words. I had come up with some, and honestly, like, okay, if that's what their point is and their position is, like, I don't need to use negative words. I'll just use intellect. Like, I will completely grenade their argument. I'm going for it. And I'm like, So I sat it down and jotted down a few notes, and I decided to apply. I called Jill and Mary Beth in to get some good counsel and told them of the circumstance. And I said, guys, have a seat. Let me tell you what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And they, blah, blah, and I'm, and blah, blah. And here's kind of where I am. And so this is my response. Let me give you my response, and this is what I'm going to do. And went down through my response. And after I said it, Mary Beth and Jill both almost simultaneously said, let's tell you what we've recently heard. Before you do anything, ask yourself the question, what's the wisdom in this circumstance? I'm like, that's not what I wanted to hear. You know? What's the wisdom in the circumstance? And so it's a great place for us to start. And you might, in order for you to dig into that and start to ask, how do I get to that wisdom? Start to ask yourself, okay, if I do that, if I go to that, if I want that desire and pursue that, if I take that next step, why am I doing this? Am I being completely honest with myself, really? Because most of the time when we're pursuing something, and sometimes we're even pursuing something good, oh, yeah, I want to do that. Oh, man. Like, I've been in church a long time. Like, I've known people, like, I want, Pastor Paul, I want to go on that missions trip. Okay, let's pray about it and let's try to help you get on that missions trip. And then later on find out, like, I won't go on the mission trip because I heard he's going to be on that trip. Oh, so you're actually not going to help anybody. You're going because, like, you're hoping you're going to spend some time. In fact, I actually think that's how Pastor Jeff and Saison met. But so you have to ask yourself the question, though, like, I can throw a bunch of stuff into this, and I argue with myself, and I sell myself on it, but why do I want this really, really? Then the second week, and let me just tell you, of the messages that I've preached in this message series, the second week was, to me, really important. I'd advise you to go to the website and listen to it, because the second week was, what is the story I want to tell? What's the story I want to tell? And then, what's the story I want to tell to God? Like, one day I'll stand before God and I'll have to give an account of my life and my words and my actions. So when I stand before him in this circumstance concerning this, what's the story I want to tell him about this? Because I'm like, you're not going to be able to stand before God and go, I plead the fifth. He's going, like, speak. You know, you're going to speak and you're going to tell what's in your heart. And so what's the story I want to tell to God? What's the story I want to tell vertically to God? What's the story I want to tell horizontally to the people around me? What do I want my wife, my husband, my kids, my neighbors, my coworkers? What's the story that I'm telling them and that they're going to tell about me out of this decision? What's the story I want to tell? And then what's the story I want to tell internally? And I talked about, like, when I'm old and lying in a bed and I'm having, what's going to make me smile? What's going to make me feel good about the decision that I've made right here? Man, I called them up and I told them off. Man, I feel better. And then we never spoke again. Feeling good about, no, seriously, like, when this is all said and done and the emotion's gone, like, what's the story I'm going to feel good about telling myself about this circumstance? So in all of that, like, you have to start to ask yourself some questions. Last week, I started to challenge you about finding your value system and what are my values? Like, live and die. Like, what are the non-exchangeables in my life? And when you start to identify those things, like, you start to make decisions in a clearer pattern in your life. These are the things that I'm just not going to do in light of this decision. Okay, so today I'm going to spend a few moments here, and I'm going to ask you just a few more questions, but I'm going to ask the big question at the end. The interesting thing for all of us is we want our lives to mean something. We want our lives to count for something, so that when I'm that old person lying in that bed, that I feel like I've done something important in my life. And honestly, even more than that, I want the actions that I'm doing now to make a difference. Like, I want them to make a difference in my world or in the world around me. And so I want to have my life count. I'm not the only person that's ever thought about that. I think you have. And let me just tell you, there's a reason why I think that this is important, because God actually created you so that your life would count. He created you so that your life would have value. And you just can't erase that question, because I think it's actually the imprint of God down on the inside of you saying, like, there's a drive to do something more worthwhile with your life than just to live at these kind of base decisions. So we all have this desire and this drive to do this, that our life would have some impact. And I think it testifies to God that we are created for a bigger plan. We're created to do something bigger. And so there's a man in the Bible, his name is Solomon, and we've been talking about him for the last few weeks, that he had an opportunity to have a conversation with God. And so you can read this with me if you would. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to read in the 11th verse. Actually, I'm going to start in the 8th verse. Solomon, who's the king of Israel, he says this. He says, I'm like a little child. Here's the interesting thing is God, he'd given an offering to God and it got God's attention. And God says, ask anything of me. Ask anything you want of me. Now, if you were given that question from God, what do you want to ask anything? Like, I don't know what your response would be, but like, you know, Lord, better looks, you know? Some of you don't need that, and some of you do, but better looks. Give me a long life. Lots of money. I'm sorry. Lord, like, kill my enemies. And you wake up in the morning, and honey, wake up, and she's dead, you know? No, that's a... Just bear with me. I'll get you through this here. But here's the deal. It's like, what would you ask? Because some of us, like the desires of our heart, what we would really answer that, it speaks of who we are. And so in this passage, God says, ask me anything. You can have it. And here's what he says in verse number 8. I'm like a little child. How can I rule this kingdom? Give me a discerning heart. Like, don't let me just see the surface, but let me discern what's taking place here. To govern and to know right and wrong. I want to make good leadership decisions and good life decisions. God, I'm really overwhelmed in this circumstance. I have a vast kingdom and I have some experience, but I'm too young to have all the experience I need. I'm not smart enough to know everything that I need to know. I don't have a big enough grasp of things for me to be able to respond to all of the circumstances. I don't know exactly what to do in every circumstance. So, give me wisdom. I don't know about you, but like, man, there's so many times in my life I've had that prayer. Like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Like, I haven't had enough life experience. I don't have enough information. What am I going to do? And God says in verse number 11 to him, since you have asked for this and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, I have nor asked for the death of your enemies, but you've asked for discernment and administering justice. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and a discerning heart, so, listen to these words, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor there will ever be. Now this is Solomon, and God makes a promise to him, no one will ever be like you again. And here we are, probably 3,000 years later. And we're talking about Solomon. Now, you know what that makes me understand? That when God makes a promise to you, like, he's going to keep it even 3,000 years later. So God makes this promise to him and says, I'm going to give you wisdom, and it'll be declared there's no one like you. So what do we do in his prayer? He says, I don't understand enough. I can't see it all. I don't have enough information. I don't have a computer that I can put stuff in, and I'm going to get that one thing. So I need something from you, God. What do I do when I don't know it all? What do I do when I can't see it all? What do I do? And so here's what Solomon writes out of his response and God's response to him out of Proverbs, the third chapter. And will you turn with me? And this is where we'll spend the rest of our time. Proverbs, the third chapter. Familiar verses. If you graduated from high school here at Christ Church, I've written this in your graduation card. If you've gotten married here at Christ Church, I've written this in your marriage card. These are, to me, some of the most important verses and some of the greatest advice I could give somebody. And here it is, right in the Bible. This is what he says when it comes to having and knowing wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart in every area of your life, in every arena, in your marriage life, in your friendship life, in your professional life, in your dating life, in your financial life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's like saying, no reservation. Like, trust me completely, with all your heart, and lean not, that's an interesting phrase, lean not on your own understanding. It actually means for you to put weight on it. Like, you have people that you put weight into their value and weight into their opinions and weight into certain things that maybe the news says or the stock market says, and you put weight into those things. And here's what he's saying, put all your weight in trusting me. Like at that moment when you don't know what to do and you don't know what direction to take and you're even in a quandary about what relationships are going to look like and tomorrow's going to look like, put all your weight into this. Trust me in it. Somebody today, listen, like you're full of anxiety and you're full of worry and you're full of fear. And listen to the word of the Lord today. Trust him. Just put all the value on trusting him in the circumstance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He invites us to lean on him and not on our own understanding. The thing about it is we lean on all kinds of stuff. In my life, in my experience, I lean on education, honestly. I lean on my good looks. You know why things aren't working out for me. I lean on all kinds of stuff. I put so much like hope and confidence in things where it's misplaced. Let me just tell you one of the things about me, in case you don't know me well enough to know this. Like, I have a sense of determination to, like, fault and almost fatal. Like, somebody tells me I can't do it, watch this, you know? Seriously, you don't know how to do that. Well, watch this, you know? Like, and some of us are like that in areas of our life, I don't know exactly how to raise kids, but I've watched people raise kids. You know what that's like? That's like saying, I don't know how to do surgery, but I watched it on Discovery Channel one time. You know? I don't know how to do any of these things, but, you know, there's a better plan. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't make the mistake that you're old enough. Don't make the mistake that you're wise enough. Don't make the mistake that you're smart enough that you can pull this off on your own. When it comes to making great life decisions, you're going to have some direction. And the best place to put your value, your trust, is in God himself. Okay. A few years ago, back when most of my family lived in Pittsburgh, I was flying in. I was renting a car. I was going to go to my mom and dad's house and my sister's house. And unbeknownst to me, they had done construction around the airport. I'm talking major construction. Like, I knew that there was construction that was taking place, but I didn't know that by the time I got there, they had literally destroyed the old road and there was a brand new road. Like, here's the deal, is I lived in my mother and father's house for several decades. I knew where they lived. I knew where I was going. And I knew the road that I always took to get there, but there was a change in the road. And now I needed a new piece of information. I needed something else to get me. And many times when we're walking through life, like, I've done that before, this is the way it's gone down, and this, but here's what he said. He said, in every journey, in every decision, don't just jump into it because you have some sense of wisdom or you think you have some sense of information or you have an experience about this. Pause. Pause and pray and lean on me and trust me that in this journey, in this place, here's what he says. If you'll lean on me, I'll direct your path. If you want real direction, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, in every way, in every decision, in every aspect of your life, if you'll acknowledge him. How do you do that? Like, here's what it means to acknowledge him. Like, just, okay, God, in this purchase, I'm acknowledging you that my finances belong to you, God. In my life, in my time, I'm acknowledging you. I'm just going to be consciously aware that you're a part of my life and you're a part of my decisions in every area of my understanding, in every area of my world, in every area of my relationships, in every area of my job. Here's what the wisest man that's ever lived says. If you want direction for your decisions, then you're going to have to lean on God. Direction doesn't come from seeking for direction. Are you ready? Now listen to this. Direction doesn't come from seeking for direction. It comes from submission. From submitting your life to God and say, before I take control of this, before I take control of this relationship, before I take control of this circumstance, before I move forward, I'm going to submit myself to you, and whatever you want, God, is what I'm going to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. You might not know how you're going to get to. You might not even understand, like, what's this going to look like? Like, I feel like God's calling me that somewhere down the road my life is going to have value. I'm going to have a family. But seriously, I'm in a marriage that's messed up. I'm in a relationship that's messed up. I don't even know how to have good relationships. My finances are messed up. I don't even know how I'm going to get to this. Here he says, if you'll just pause and trust me with your life, acknowledge me in your life, acknowledge me in your decision making, then I will direct you. I will make it clear. I will make it plain, and I will get you to the place where I want you to be, and you will be in your best tomorrow when that takes place. Because submission precedes decision. Submission precedes direction. Submit yourself to God, and he'll direct you. The sad thing about Solomon is there was a place in his life where he decided that he was smart enough and wise enough, and he was going to take his own plan and his own path. So he evidences, like, there's only one way to do this, and that is submit to God. And he'll make your path straight. And I'm going to tell one story, and then I'm going to close here in a second. When I first came to Orlando, I was offered a job. I'm from Pittsburgh, in case you didn't know that. Go Steelers! I was offered a job. I was in Western Pennsylvania. Western Pennsylvania, at this point, had gone through a pretty bad recession. The steel mills were closing. The coal mines had closed. There was, in our church, we had 28% unemployment. I mean, think about that. Like, there was no money. There was no money. So I decided I'm going to do what I know to do. Honestly, like, I took all kinds of jobs. I learned wallpaper. I mowed lawns. I gave voice lessons. I did all kinds of stuff. I'm going to make this thing work. And so I had somebody that called me. They'd come to our church in Pennsylvania and heard the music. And he said, hey, I want to offer you a job. And I'm like, where? Because if it's North Dakota, no. Like, I heard the voice of God already, and he said no. He said, Orlando, Florida. He said, here's what I want you to do. Before you make a decision, I'm going to fly you down here. So he flew me down here, and I met a lot of folks and fell in love with them at that church. And I felt so tuned to them, but like, I was more tuned to Pittsburgh. I was more tuned to my home and my family and my church in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, no, this is, I know, like, my heart is tied to Pittsburgh. I'm staying there. So I went home and I told him, I'd give him an answer. A couple of days later, he called me back and he said, what you think, Paul? And I'm like, nope. I know. He called me again a month or so later and he said, hey, we want to fly you down here again, honestly. Like, we want to fly you down here again. So they flew me down a second time. And honestly, I loved it. They were having special meetings, and I did music with them. And I think Charlotte actually sang in the choir back then, and it was just awesome music. And went home, he called me, and like, nope. No, in my heart, Pittsburgh's the deal. He called me three more times, total of five times he called me, and I kept saying, nope, 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 my heart is in Pittsburgh. Calls me last time, it was the second or third week in February, and he said, hey, Paul, this is going to be the last time I call you, and I'm not going to call you after this, so I need a final answer from you. I'm like, I think I gave you five already, but he called me again, and it was almost like, I hate to say this because I'm like not spooky about this kind of stuff, but it was almost like I was watching myself from like almost like from another perspective, and I heard myself say the words, yes, okay, I'll come when you want me there. And he said, 3 weeks. And honestly, I hung up the telephone and literally rolled on the living room floor laughing and crying, because I'm like, where in the world did that come from? I was like, no. Yes. I'm like, here's the deal is no matter how many times I closed the door, he kept kicking it open. No matter how many times I said no, he kept saying yes. And finally, till my heart got tuned to the Spirit, it was like, this is the yes. It's the open door. I'm going to make this plain. It's yes. And there are a lot of people that they fret and they're like, what if I miss God? What if I make the wrong decision? Here's the deal. If you're seeking God, I think it's almost impossible to make the wrong decision. If you're seeking him and trusting him, in fact, let me, God had a plan for Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. You know the story well. And so he's supposed to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, I heard your voice, God. Nope. Gets on a boat and starts going in the opposite direction. So God's like, okay, we're going to close this door. God sends a storm, and the people on the boat throw him over the boat, and he ends up in the water. And God's like, okay, we'll send a fish down there. Sends a fish. The fish swallows him up and throws him up on the shore where he's supposed to be. Now, here's the deal is he's just being directly defiant to God's will, even though he's called by God, and he's known by God. God's saying, like, here's where I want you. And he's like, nope. Nope. And God's like, okay, yeah, this is the place. And so here's the deal. How much more, if God is that careful to get Jonah to where he is, how much more is he going to be that way in your life that you don't have to worry and fret, that if you're prayerfully asking God, what's my next step, God? If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will make it so plain you can't miss it. So will you trust him? Like, don't stand on your own ingenuity. Don't stand on the advice of somebody else. Don't stand on good information. Will you just simply make your mind up? I'm going to trust him. Here's my last question for the day. Are you ready? What is keeping you from trusting God in the circumstances of your life? What's keeping you from acknowledging God? What's keeping you from saying yes to what God wants to do in your current circumstance? Is it your predetermined plan? Is it like, my heart's tied to that? I want to have a little bit more fun. I want to do a little bit more of this. But will you just consider that, like, God has a bigger plan that he's working on in your life? Will you just consider that quite possibly? He's just asking you just to submit and just say, yes, God, to your plan, I'm going to stand in you, and I'm going to trust in you that even though I can't see it, I'm going to trust you, and I know that you're going to bring me to a good place. Now, in these next few moments, I'm going to pray for you, because some of there are people here that you're smart, honestly, and you're kind of self-sufficient, and you've formed arguments around the decisions that you want to make, and yet you haven't paused and said, okay, God, what do you want? And some of you are skilled, and you've got talent, and you have good looks, and you've had all of those things that you've rested on, and they've gotten you to some places, and some of those were not so good. But listen, God wants you to stop, and he wants you to say, listen, I have a best next for you. Will you just pause and say, yes, whatever it is, and I'll get you to the place where you should be. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Lord, thank you for these words. They challenge me again, and I think they challenge our church and every life in this room, that we would trust you. Trust you with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you. So, Lord, today, we say yes. We say yes in our finances. We say yes in our relationships. We say yes, even though my heart wants me to do another thing, I'm going to say yes to what you tell me to do, God. Yes, yes, yes. Lord, teach us to trust you in all of our ways. Lord, I need you. Somebody just with your eyes closed and your head bowed, say, like, I need you. Like, I'm not smart enough to make this decision. I acknowledge you. And Lord, I need the joy of what you can bring to me in the days ahead.